What is up, our friends from the internet? It's the Tech Yeah Games podcast once again, here with my loyal co-host, Leo.
Nice. Yes, I'm happy to be here, and I am loyal.
Yeah, we're like adventurers, right? Loyal to a fault. We have each other's back to fight games.
Yeah, you could do no wrong.
To fight games, I guess. I don't know. To stand up to the evil games.
To big games.
Yeah, to big games and the evil purveyors of them. So it's not been a huge news week, right? I mean, I've played a lot of games this week. What about you, Leo?
I played quite a few as well.
Yeah, I love gaming.
I think, same. You know what?
I love,
me too.
I love gaming.
What a brave statement.
Thank you. Thank you. I try.
Yeah, the games I played this week actually kind of reflect the, I was definitely looking backwards this time around.
Aren't you always looking backwards, Leo?
I know. It's my thing, okay? It's my thing. Yeah. Everyone's got to have a thing. That's mine.
I mean, not really. You can have all kinds of things.
I think every personality needs to be defined by one eccentricity that defines everything who you are. Otherwise, what are you doing, right?
That's true. I mean, we are gamers, right? So you have to have
your
character
first and
trait.
Foremost.
Yeah. All right. Well, then what did you play this week? Let's take a trip back in time with Leo.
I got to start with, I played a fair amount of Shadowbringers, Final Fantasy 14. And, you know, I don't have a whole lot new to add, except I'm moving through the story. But I do have one sort of interesting experience I wanted to share, which was the going through a story, having a good time. And we get to this, like, fairy kingdom called, I think it's called Almeg, something like
all
that.
Something.
It's really hard to remember
all
the
something.
Names.
Yeah. I know what you're
talking
about.
I think it's Almeg. Yeah. But there's this cool part where it's, like, all shrouded in mist. And then there's flowers everywhere. And you're like, this is cool. And then you do some weird fairy shit. And then, like, literally fairy shit, that wasn't, like, a slur. There's fairies everywhere, and you're doing work for them.
I don't think it would be a slur either way. Like, I don't think...
Yeah, very, very strange and outdated and
I don't think you
bizarre
offended
slur.
The fairies with your fairy slurs.
Yeah. And then it opens up, and I'm telling you, man, this zone is so gorgeous. Like, it's these, like, flowing green hills. The skybox is awesome because it's all about light there. So it's, like, this beautiful light. There's this awesome, huge, like, cool fairy-looking castle on the horizon, like, sticking out over an endless, bottomless lake. There's these beautiful, like, iridescent crystal spikes sticking out everywhere. And, of course, as is almost always the case with this game, the music is just beautiful and matches the zone so nicely. And as strange as it sounds, like, when I was running through a zone, I got, like, kind of emotional because it's, like, the kind of place I always wanted to visit when I was a kid. As sort of silly as that sounds, it tapped into, like, this very strange sense of wonder and, like, I really felt like I was there in a strange place, even though this is all through the rather clunky, UI of an MMO. This is not exactly, like, cutting edge in any technical sense. But there was something about the sense of place that I really fell in love with, and it was cool. I haven't had that experience playing a game, even really beautiful, awesome games, in a long time. And it was really neat. It was kind of a fun experience, and it just made me like the game even more.
I love how my friend that before the show said he wanted to live in a mausoleum.
That too.
Is so excited about visiting a fairyland that is
a
bright,
very colorful
and beautiful,
and, beautiful
yeah. And like the most welcoming place.
Yeah.
No, I think that area is cool. I like how it kind of starts you in like this kind of shrouded version of it.
Exactly.
You know, like this instance where you don't get to see the...
Yeah, and then you do all the fairy shit.
Yeah, then you do all that fairy shit. you offend the fey people with your slurs and eventually are allowed to kind of bask in the grandeur of Almeg.
Yeah, they even do a really cool part where you're talking to, what's her face, Minfilia 2.0 or whatever.
Spoilers.
And you're on this cliff, and they very intentionally put you there because the view is just like really gorgeous and very nicely framed. And I don't know. It's just a really cool zone. And there's a lot of cool zones in that game, but there's very few that I felt like, holy shit, this is like something I imagined when I was little. Like, I wish a place like that existed. And it kind of does. You just have to pay $15 a month to Square Enix.
Yeah. I think Stormblood, going into Shadowbringers, like Stormblood was very like, a lot of the zones are very brown. You know, like,
yeah, it's, yeah, zone wise, it's fairly straightforward. There's some exceptions, but yeah, I agree.
Where Shadowbringers is a lot, you know, it's kind of like when you played Heavensward, you know, and all those, you'd go to all these zones and like you could tell you were kind of like escalating into the atmosphere.
Yeah, you're going literally like upwards. Mm-hmm. It's very cool.
And it was, it just was very fun. You're like, what is going to be fucking next? Like, this is wild. And
There's like the crazy Moogle zone where you're like in the clouds and there's those cool flowers everywhere. That was awesome.
Yeah, the ones with the fat kind of owl guys, you know, and you're like, it's all these like floating rocks, you know, like, mm-hmm. And I think Shadowbringers does a good job of kind of bringing that That sense of like, I wonder what the next place is going to look like, man. Yeah. Like, this is crazy. You know, it actually reminds me a lot of like World of Warcraft, like in the early days was like that a lot. Like,
yeah, I've heard people say that it very much tapped into that. Like, a new zone is a very exciting thing, not just mechanically, but, you know, kinesthetically as well.
Yeah. I remember the Burning Crusade really blew me away when you'd go from zone to zone and get to see like what the thing was for this next zone, you know? And yeah. I really felt that again with Shadowbringers. I thought it was really great.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm having a blast with that. Just run around and on my fat cat mount, which is hilarious.
Yeah, you got that fat cat. You paid the big bucks and got the fat cat. Yeah,
well, it was sort of a test to see. There's a lot of third-party sites that, like, don't come at me, Square Enix, but, like, that'll sell this stuff discounted. And so I bought one or two small things just to kind of see. It's not a huge discount. It's probably, like, you know, 20% off, which if something's $5 is not that much, but it was still kind of interesting. And yeah, it worked. They just email you the key and you redeem it on Mog Station. So that was kind of how that came about. But I love that mount. Once I got it, I was like, yep.
Yeah, it's good. It's a real classic. It's hilarious, if you ask me.
Yeah, when you jump off, it goes, it like runs away. It's very funny.
Yeah, some of those mounts, I love them so much.
Yeah, me too. But the other games I played, the ones I want to talk about, is I got real into PS2 emulation this week.
Oh, here we go.
Because I have this hard drive that I've sort of kitted out with, I think I talked about this a few years ago, with like Launchbox and all these ROMs, and it's sort of where I store all my emulation stuff, and it's all through this kind of pretty nice front end. So you just click on it, it downloads all the art and everything. And I really love the idea of having all that on an external hard drive. And so I updated my PS2 emulator that's on there, and the new version of, I think it's PCX2 or whatever the main PlayStation 2 emulator is really good.
I thought it was PSX. I thought it was like the...
Well, the PSX is the PS1 emulator. They're very similar in names, but you could just Google it. It's like the big one. It's
oh, PCSX2 is what it is.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's exactly what I said.
No, yeah, I think you said PCX.
Nah, I know that. Just kidding.
Who knows? I looked it up so we would know the right name. It's PCSX2.
If only there was a way to find out.
Yeah.
But anyway, all that to say, so I went kind of to some websites and got some ROMs of games I totally officially own, obviously, and just played some of the PS2 classics that I'd never really dived into. A lot of PS2 games have been ported since then, so there's really not a huge amount of games that just live on the PS2. Almost none, actually. Like, when you think of the PS2, you think of all these big games like God of War and Grand Theft Auto and Final Fantasy, and all those games have been ported extensively. But what hadn't been ported was the two Resident Evils, well, three, that are on PS2, not counting Code Veronica. One of them is called Dead Aim, Resident Evil Dead Aim. Have you ever played that?
No.
It sucks.
It sounds like it was
so bad. It's weird. You're like on a boat and it's like a Resident Evil 4 style camera, but before Resident Evil 4. But every time you get in combat, it goes into first person. And you have to use the sticks to like point and shoot. It's abysmal. It's so fucking bad. And then I was also playing Outbreak, which is not that bad. It was an online one, which, again, PS2 had pretty limited online capabilities, and I'm not playing online now. But it's pretty well regarded as far as, you know, just fun Resident Evil game. It all takes place in Raccoon City, but you're playing just a disparate group of survivors, and you can kind of choose which one has different skills. And you're just trying to get out of Raccoon City, so that's kind of a fun take on it.
That does sound pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. When I think of PS2 games, like, honestly, I think of, like, Guitar Hero and maybe, like, Gran Turismo. Like, I think it was the third one was on PS2 or the fourth one.
The third one, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It was a weird time for me. I know I played a lot of PS2 games. Like, it was the biggest console of all time. And I know I remember owning a lot of PS2 games. But when I think back on that console and what I played, I'm like, I think I played a little Final Fantasy and a lot of Guitar Hero. Like, I just remember Guitar Hero all the time. It's so funny, this website, PCSX2, because I opened it to search it. It's all the menus are a picture of Sephiroth is the icon for the menus. So that's pretty sweet.
Which was not on PS2. Not on PS2. That's the funniest part. I guess like Dirge of Cerberus was, and that's it.
I'm sure he existed on PS2, but...
Oh, fuck, dude. Dirge of Cerberus. I got to add that to the
collection. Download that shit, my man. You got to get it.
But the other one I actually played a lot and I'm going to continue playing is Castlevania Curse of Darkness, which there was two Castlevania games, and these were follow-ups to the pretty roundly criticized 3D Castlevania on the N64, which I actually kind of have a soft spot for, but I had never played these. I remember when they came out and I'm getting like pretty decent reviews, people saying like, hey, this works, which is more than they said of the N64 ones. But I just totally passed it by. And so I kind of just booted one up just to see, A, to test if the ROM works, and B, just to, I don't know, give a shot, see. And it opens with this insane cutscene, and I was just laughing. I was like, this is so fucking stupid. And then I started playing, and I was like, ah, this is kind of dumb. Like, well, that was kind of cool. And then I walked in and was like, oh, this castle's kind of cool. But anyway, this game's dumb. And then I ended up playing for like an hour and a half, and by the end, it just slowly dawned on me that I was having a blast and actually really loving it. And even as flaws sort of added to my enjoyment of the game. And yeah, I'm actually having a blast with this 3D Castlevania. It's not a great game traditionally, but it's pretty cool. There's some neat elements, like it's almost like this Pokemon element where you collect these demons and you can swap them out in battle and they'll help you in different ways. So there's like combat focused ones, healing focused ones, and you kind of collect them and they're these weird magical creatures. One thing that's cool is you can craft new armor or weapons whenever you want, just from a menu. With the stuff you collect from deceased monsters.
That sounds so strange.
It is strange. It's a strange game, and the combat's very straightforward. It's just a lot of hitting square. It's like if you were to just glance at it on its surface, it's like a really shitty Dark Souls, right? Like a very straightforward Dark Souls where you just spam square. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot more to it than just that, and even that, I'm actually kind of enjoying the simplicity of it because it's very straightforward. The layout of the castle to a fault is just basically linear corridors, so you're like exploring this space, but really you're just
moving walking forward. Down a bunch of hallways. You're just going forward, yeah. All the time,
which is actually feels kind of good in a way. Like, it's fun watching the percentages unlock really quickly while I just run forward. Yeah. So anyway, I'm enjoying it. And again, the cutscenes are so funny and so bad and so entertaining. Like, every time a cutscene happens, I get so excited because they're just utterly insane. But one thing that unironically totally kicks ass and that I want to recommend fervently is the music.
Is it good?
The game, the music is so good. From like the first track, you're like, holy shit, the music is like leagues better than the actual game itself, even though I really like the game. So I highly recommend you check out the soundtrack, Castlevania Curse of Darkness.
Yeah.
There's another one called Lament of Innocence, which is
that's a good name though.
It's a very mausoleum on a hilltop kind of name, yeah. But
it fits you. That game that really suits you, right?
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I'm going to definitely try it out.
I feel like that's like something you would have called like your AOL screen name, like when you were a teenager.
In eighth grade? Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm a Lament of Innocence.
Yeah, and people would be like, dude, that sucks. I'd be like, you just don't understand me. No, yeah. That's your problem.
It does suck. That's the point.
You know? Like, yeah, it's horrible. Yeah, it makes you feel bad.
It's the worst. It's dreadful.
It's so lame. Yeah, that's why I like it. Anyway, so yeah, a lot of PS2 emulation. Had a lot of fun playing these old games. I'm going to jump back into Castlevania. And the last game I wanted to talk a little bit about was Loop Hero.
Oh, you became a Loop Hero, did you?
Yeah, I think you know I did.
Yeah, I do know you did.
You kind of pushed me a little bit, not pushed in a negative way, but kind of were like, hey, you should try this out. And I'm glad I did. It's a very interesting game. It's
cool, right? Like, it's interesting, cool. Right? Even if you don't like it, I think it's a neat idea of like,
yeah.
a neat implementation, like, right?
Totally. And as I've said, I think a few weeks ago, and I've been really thinking this more and more, it's like, even if I don't like something, the fact it's interesting makes me really happy as I get older. It's like, even something weird, if I don't engage with it a lot, I still like it. And that's kind of how this feels. It feels very elegant and polished. I'll let you talk more about it. I think you played more of it, but it's a very interesting game. It's one of those games that appears so simple that you're like, what? How could this be a game? And very quickly you realize the level of care and progress. The way they treat progress is very fascinating.
Yeah, I found it.
I'd like to hear you talk about it.
Okay, I'll jump in. Like, you know, because I did play quite a bit of Loop Hero.
Yeah, I think I put in like an hour just for reference.
I guess I shouldn't say quite a bit. I probably played 4 hours, maybe, I don't know, 5 hours. Who knows? That's the thing about that game, too. It's sort of passive.
It's hard to keep track
so
of time.
You sort of don't know how long you're playing it. It's just kind of happening while you interact with it. But it's not like, you know, initially, I think when you look at it, you're like, is this kind of like a clicker? Like, can I just leave this running? But very quickly, you realize, like, if you're not proactive, this run will end very quickly. Like, you're not... Yep. You're not going to make it. But so what the game is, for anyone that, well, probably most of you haven't played it. It's basically like, it's 2D. It's very like 16-bit style.
Not even. It's very like almost not even 8-bit style. It's like very old school looking.
Well, different parts have different aesthetics, yeah, right? Like I think the, you know, like the chat, like the interaction parts are very kind of 16-bit, like when you're talking to people, because it's the bits are too good for like 8-bit.
And the cinematics, like the pixel art is beautiful. Yeah, it's beautiful. Like with all games these days, like the pixel art looks really good, but then the actual main screen is sort of simplified.
Yeah, it's almost like Atari looking, like with good colors. Yeah. Like with good colors, right? If Atari didn't have bad colors, right?
It's like how you remember Atari looking.
Yeah. Right? Your dude is literally like a little white, like stick man. Yeah. Running around the screen, and the enemies are like these like stick representations of what they would be. But then combat is kind of 8-bit. It looks like a Final Fantasy fight screen, right? Like,
yeah.
Totally. So your dude's running around a loop, basically, right? Like whenever you start a run, because it's like
that's
a roguelike.
That's why they call it that.
Loop hero. Yeah. Whenever you start a run, you basically just creates a new randomly generated loop, and you run around the loop. And whenever you run into an enemy, enemies spawn basically based on the day cycle. You'll fight that enemy automatically. You don't interact with the combat. It just sort of happens. And what you do is you get drops from the enemy, so weapons and armor you can equip at any time, and you get cards that drop. You make a deck, and those cards will randomly kind of fall out of enemies as you're going. You know, some of the cards are like land cards, where if you put them down, you'll get bonuses to your max HP. Like a meadow card will give you max, like, or improve your regeneration.
And there's cards that will spawn monsters if you want to, like, have more combat.
So the cards that spawn monsters are like they're like land cards for the loop, right? So one will be like a vampire house, right? And if the vampire house is down, any monsters that spawn near the vampire's house, you'll also have to fight a vampire with it, right? Or one will be a swamp, and mosquitoes will spawn from the swamp. And if you're on a swamp tile, you can't heal. Healing will do damage to you, right?
Yeah.
But what's interesting is, like, you can take a swamp tile and put a vampire house on top of it, right? Vampires heal, right? Because they're vampires, so they heal in combat. And so they'll damage themselves in the swamp, right? Because as they do combat, they'll try to heal, and it'll kill them in a swamp. Right.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of how these systems kind of play in the game, where you're kind of stacking these different tile sets to kind of chain these effects and make, like, and kind of just kind of automate this run in a way where things are spawning and getting negative effects from certain things and positive effects, and kind of balancing out the gains of those things. You put different tiles in conjunction with each other in different ways, and they'll spawn different monsters or create different lands that you haven't seen yet.
It's almost like the land itself, or the level itself, is like a build, almost like a character build. Yeah. And your characters, just because it just cycles through, you can pause whenever you want. Like, this isn't all real time. You can just pause and make almost any of these choices, not during combat because it's not interactive, but it's not super stressful to make these decisions because you can just pause whenever you want and then resume the loop. But yeah, it's like you're slowly turning this land into from just a very simple tunnel with a few enemies to this like super optimized, almost like mid-max weird like tunnel that just feeds you items as you just cycle through. It's sort of hard to describe, but it's very elegant, I think.
Yeah, and it is funny too, because when you start, it's such a simple loop, you know, and it's like, oh, you know, like, why is it so like just a loop full of empty space? But by the time you get toward the end of a loop, especially if you've been playing for a while, like, you've almost filled every square on the screen with, like, mountains.
And it's very unique.
Yeah.
Like, no other loop's going to look like that.
Yeah, there's mountains and grass and lampposts and, you know, like, everything you can think of. The whole thing is full of villages and farms.
Beacons.
Yeah, beacons and everything. And it's really fun. It's a real enticing loop. It's fun to play. And so what happens is you're collecting resources through this loop. When you get back to the campfire, which is where you start the loop, you can leave and take all the resources with you. If you leave at any other point on the loop, you'll take 60% of the resources.
Oh, that's funny. I didn't realize that. Yeah. I always thought you lost some of the resources.
No.
That's funny.
So if you leave on the campfire, you keep them all. You die to monsters, you keep 30% of the resources, right?
I never died.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So once you build enough stuff, the boss will spawn. He will spawn on top of your campfire. He will build his own town there. And then you have to fight him there. You know, it's funny when I was watching people talk about this game, certain people were like, oh, it's so hard. I never like got to the boss or beat the boss. I kind of found it not super difficult as far as like getting through my first like beat the boss run. If you read the cards, it's not that crazy and like how the effects stack, you know. I got to a rogue, which is like the next character you unlock, and he has a passive ability, like if you stack a certain like like I used evasion, but if you stack like a buff, you'll get like an extra bonus for that buff. And so, you know, I put evasion in all four slots and just only wore evasion gear, and I was basically like unhittable for most things on the map, you know what I mean? I was just kind of rushing through it. So, you know, I just feel like if you're kind of looking at it, it's not super hard, but you just got to read a lot and try and think about like, oh, how are these tiles going to work, how are these effects going to work, and kind of maximize those. But yeah, I find the game really fun. I think it's fun to unlock the things. I don't know how much more time I'm going to put into it. I don't think it's like, I don't know, I don't like love that style of game, but it's definitely cool, it's definitely interesting. It's very cool. And
it's a great example of how like game design, just like coming up with a cool core loop, no pun intended, is like can be really powerful. I think one thing is I mean this as a compliment, a game like this would be such a perfect fit for mobile.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm not gonna put a lot of time into this because I'm just praying, and I'm sure they'd be fools not to release this on Android, because I think this would be a wonderful phone game. Like if you could just suspend the loop whenever you wanted somehow, or just put it in pause, or like a quick save, you know, it would lend itself so well to portable play, don't you think?
Yeah, no, I agree. That's the first thing I thought when playing.
And the touchscreen interface obviously couldn't be a better match than this game.
Yeah, it's almost kind of like, why am I using a mouse for this? Because
exactly,
it's really decision making. It's not like Twitch gameplay or anything. You
in
know?
No way. Yeah, it's very strategy.
Yeah,
And like I say, you can pause anytime, so there's no stress that comes from it. Which it sounds like there might be. There's not, because you can stop and make choices whenever you want. But yeah, I really hoping they do an Android port. I'm sure they will, and I think I'll probably put in some serious time at that point, like just doing a couple loops before bed, you know, and then all of a sudden it's been 2 hours. I could totally see that happening with this game.
Yeah, I always love when we see these indies hit that just do it different, right? And really kind of catching on and taking fire. Like I think Baba is making a shitload of money.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I think we've seen a few of these pop up over the past few years, and yeah, I'm all for it. I think it's great. I think it's so cool. I think it's interesting. And I just love people doing it different, you know, like
exactly,
like not trying to take the same approach. I think there's value in both, but you know, I think it's really cool to see this stuff and just how creative it is to make a game this way.
Yeah, I agree. And it is nice to see them being rewarded for doing so, you know. That's not to correlate quality with financial success necessarily. I'm sure there's a lot of great games that don't sort of catch on in this way, but the fact that it is a great game and was made by, I assume, a fairly small team, that they're being rewarded for their success is really cool, you know. It's just nice to see.
Yeah,
it's nice to see the system working the way it's supposed to once in a while.
And I will generally say, I think gaming and game development is a very, like, the meritocracy of it is strong, you know. Like good games do well, you know. It's really rare to find like a hidden gem that just didn't catch on, because you know, like they really do find a way to
how would you know?
I mean, because I played a lot of bad games, you know, like I've dug through a lot of like what's not being played, and that shit
there's
sucks.
there's a lot of shitty games out there, just like there's a lot of shitty movies and a lot of shitty music.
And even when you do hear stories about games that do find a second life, like Among Us or something. Yeah. Among Us is neat, but it's not a good game. You know, like I think it's cool. I think the package.
It's a good social game. Yeah,
and it's a game. It's a known quantity, right? Like we've all played Mafia. We've all played like the Resistance. We've all played Secret Hitler. Like we all know that. Like
I have never played any of those games.
Really?
I've never even heard of any of them.
What was it? Werewolf.
I guess we had different childhoods.
What is it called? Werewolf or. Werewolf something, like, you know, any of those, like know. One guy's the bad guy, lie to your friends and find the bad guy games. Like I think that's a really common formula in like board games and video games. Like it's not new, right? Not to say, I think Among Us is great for what it is, but it's not like it was some hidden masterpiece.
It was repackaging something that was pretty popular and repackaging it well.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You know, in opposite news, I did finally beat, Ghost of Tsushima. I was like Sekiro. I beat Sekiro. I did finally beat Ghost of Tsushima. I fucking love that game, man. It's so good. You know, we talked about it a lot yesterday, actually, after I beat it and I was looking at bad reviews for it and getting mad. And
I don't think there were any bad reviews for it. There were just a lot of like, it's fine.
There were a lot of 70s for that game.
Yeah.
And I think that's not bad. I mean, in the modern era of reviewing, that's pretty bad. You know, like it just is. And, you know, I think that game is so good. I think the sensibility of it is so good. I can see where if you try and do everything, you're going to like not have a good time. Right. But, you know,
just don't try and do everything.
Yeah. Don't
just do everything until you don't want to do it anymore, that's what I did. And it was great.
Yeah.
I just stopped when I was getting bored.
That's kind of what it was for me too. Like I kind of got stuck in act two for a while, chasing stuff down and doing a bunch of things. And eventually it was like, I've spent 30 hours doing this other stuff. Like I need to just do the quests. And then it was like 6 more hours to just finish it, you know? And, and I loved it. I thought it was great. I thought the story was great. I thought it was beautiful. I was sad in a lot of parts. I was happy in a lot of parts. I love Yuna so much. I think,
she's fucking cool.
Yeah. I just think the whole kind of, interaction between Jin and Yuna and like, the fact that they clearly love each other, but it's not like romantic, you know, it didn't have to be this like thing.
I also really like that she kind of looks a little bit older, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like she's not this like waifish, like, you know, young Japanese ninja girl, which is, you know, fine. There's nothing wrong with that archetype, but this is not that. Like she is this sort of, I don't want to say weathered in a negative sense, but she looks like a real like woman in her 40s or whatever. And she looks awesome. And I really like that touch of her being like, she's not young or naive. She's a real person who's like dealt with some shit, and it's really cool being able to interact with someone like that.
Yeah, like I like that no one's really hot in this game, right? Like
Jin
is strong, but he is not good looking. You know what I mean?
Maybe we just have different tastes.
My girlfriend thinks he's ugly. Like she's Japanese, well, but she's like, he's so ugly, and I'm just like, okay.
That's funny.
Yeah. I mean, he's fine and he's got a nice butt getting in and out of the onsen, right? But he climbs a lot of mountains. He runs a lot, you know?
He's probably pretty fucking strong.
He's pretty fit. When you see him doing that kind of robot run, you know, where he just like, you're like, oh.
And when he like jumps off cliffs and just does an elegant little roll.
Yeah. Yeah. He's, Jin is fit. But yeah, I mean, I loved it. I thought it was so great. And I definitely was feeling that game. I thought the ending was really good. I thought it was very emotional. I understood the motivations of the characters. You know, I don't know. I felt like before I played this game, I read a lot of reviews and heard a lot of kind of discourse around the game, kind of like, and I've said this before, I'm not going to go too far into it, but that it was kind of middling and just kind of another open world game and, doesn't really do anything new. And, you know, I just really disagree. I think in a lot of ways it is, of course it's another open world game, right? But I think the storytelling is great. I think it's beautiful. I think the surreal nature of the art is amazing. I enjoyed the gameplay a lot. You could approach things in different ways, which I thought was really cool. And I thought the writing was great. Like, I really did. So, you know, fuck people that didn't like this game. I thought it was fucking amazing.
I feel like we've talked about this before. Like, I do think there's valid criticism to be leveled against this game that it is not really doing anything particularly new. It's just doing the open world formula extremely well and like executing at a really high level. So I think if someone's like, I don't want to play another open world game, this is probably not a game you should play. But if you're like, yeah, I like open world games. Like, I like that Ubisoft style. I'm just sick of Ubisoft, or I just want like a kind of a different take on it with a really, really solid commitment to art and sense of place. And yeah, I didn't think the writing was quite as good as maybe you do, but it was still really cool. Like, the story was way better than it seems, because initially you're like, oh boy, here we go,
way better Samurai than it honor seems.
Yeah, but it does get a lot better. Like, I wasn't there for the story in the beginning and still enjoying it, but by the end I was like, no, that story was cool. Like, it went to some really cool places. So if you don't like open world games, I don't think this game's gonna change your mind. But if you do like open world games, I think this is executed beautifully, even if it doesn't break any new boundaries as far as mechanics or game design. Everything is just executed on such a high level that it's absolutely worth playing.
Yeah, I just think it's such a strange criticism to be like,
yeah,
it's not different. You know, like, or it's
yeah,
not,
it'd be like criticizing a fighting game, right?
Because yeah, it's like, it's not different.
I'm tired of just punching other characters. Like, what?
Yeah, it's
no,
like,
for sure.
It's like, oh, it's a 1v1 fighting game. Who could ever, like, you know, like, that makes
a lot of those already.
Yeah, take points away, right? We've been doing this before. And it's like,
yeah, no, I agree.
All games are derivative, right? Like, it's
yeah,
all art is derivative. And if that's a problem, then, and I don't know. I just feel like people that say that are people that kind of levy that kind of criticism as a valid criticism. Do you just hate?
I don't know.
Do you just hate everything, right? Like,
well, no, like Breath of the Wild.
Do you only like Loop Hero? Is that the only game you like? Breath of the
Wild
is
an open world game. Yeah, right. But Breath of the Wild is an open world game that felt pretty different than the Ubisoft style. And I think Ghost of Tsushima is an awesome game, but it does feel very much like an Assassin's Creed game in terms of straight up just the design document. It's identical. There's a lot of differences in the art and the writing and the way it executes, but like, it is fundamentally very similar, whereas I guess I just mean there is something to be said for innovation. However, there's also something to be said for taking a formula that people love because it's awesome and then executing it flawlessly. Like, that's also extremely valuable. And to your point, if you're going to review a game or not even review, but judge a game, you should judge it on what it's trying to achieve. And Ghost of Tsushima is trying to achieve that Ubisoft Assassin's Creed style of game with a really cool flair and does so beautifully and deserves credit for that, I think.
Yeah, if the narrative was, I only like Breath of the Wild because it's the only inventive open world game in recent right. history, then I'd be like, I guess you have a point, but that's not yeah. the narrative. You know what I mean?
The narrative was like, Ghost of Tsushima, oh yeah, another big budget like open world game, who cares? Which I do think is doing it a huge disservice. To be fair, it sold, you know, a kajillion copies. It's not like it was a failure, even yeah. if critics were sort of lukewarm.
It's
on
another
it.
One of I mean? These moments where like the fan score is super high, sales are amazing.
Yeah.
People in Japan yeah. loved it. And the critics,
everyone loved it yeah. except for a few critics. And even they didn't dislike it.
Yeah, except
it wasn't even controversial enough to dislike. Yeah. It was just like, fine. Yeah. Which is, I agree, not accurate. It's way more than fine. It's really cool.
The people of Japan loved it, right? I just read a story this week about the yeah. like the tourism board of Tsushima Island is yeah. making the people at Sucker Punch like official ambassadors for the island.
Yeah, and it like yeah, yeah. And it like updated like tourism and got them a bunch of money for people just wanting to visit. Yeah, it's a great story.
Yeah, it's a great story. It's a wonderful thing, and I just think it's a wonderful game. And
I agree.
And that's
it's a pretty amazing swan song to go out on for the PS4. You know,
yeah.
like the fact that was their last game is. Or, you know, it was not the last game, but the last, like, big blockbuster. Like, what a way to go out.
Yeah, woo! And playing that shit on the PS5 at 60 frames 4K is amazing. Like, the best thing about it on the PS5 is that game takes such great advantage. Like, if there's ever been a game that takes advantage of improved frame rate, it's Ghost of Tsushima. I mean, that's what kind of makes me excited of God of War, too, because it's similar in that effect of, like, having all these kind of like motes and just essence floating around in the air that can like
yeah particle effects
yeah, yeah particle effects you can kind of see, and not like insane like you know Call of Duty or something, but like just these kind of like this mysticism floating through yeah. all things that really can really like I would be so excited to see some of that like the warping stuff in God of War. I can't remember what it's called, yeah. but that center island, you know, all that stuff happening in 60 frames at 4K, right? Like yeah. compared to doing it on a PS4 that was melting when it would try and happen.
Yeah.
yeah. yeah.
I was also reading about, not to get too far off topic, but I was reading about how Nier Automata or Automata, however it's pronounced, also runs beautifully on the PS5. It's still 1080p, but it runs at solid FPS or 60 FPS, and it makes a huge difference. And that's a game that I didn't connect with in the way a lot of people did, but I've kind of been wanting to replay it. And again, I'm really actually looking forward to that because I feel like playing on PS5 will be a better experience. Yeah. And by the way, listeners, I have a little PS5 surprise at the end of this.
Oh, do you have a I'm excited to hear it.
You got it. But you got to stick around.
You got to stick around. I'm excited to hear it. Yeah, Nier I love too, for different reasons, right? Like,
yeah.
that game I could see as deeply flawed.
Right? I know why you like that game.
Yeah, I bet you do. But that game is clearly very, like, deeply flawed in a lot of ways as far as, like, systems and gameplay. But it's also like beautiful and just so interesting, right? Like,
and talk about doing something interesting, right? Like, that's a perfect poster child for, like, it's got a lot of problems, but it's very, very uniquely its own. And that is so valuable.
And the music is incredible. Like,
yeah, the music is incredible.
It's just amazing.
Like Castlevania, Curse of Darkness.
I mean, it's funny when you mentioned that, like, because when you were talking about that game, my criticism would be like, I'm very pretentious. That's why I love Symphony of the Night, because like the music is beautiful. The pixel art is amazing, you know, and then you're like, but the music's amazing. And I'm like, now I'm interested. it ticked off one of my,
I think it might actually be the same composer.
I'm going to have to check it out now. You son of a bitch. I'm in.
Well, yeah, I don't think you should play the game because you will not like it. Listen to the soundtrack.
I'm going to play the whole thing. Speaking of soundtracks,
the mountains of, I think I actually sent it to you at one point. It's called like the mountains of something, but it's so good. It's like, anyway.
Did you see that the Astrobot soundtrack is on Spotify and everything now?
No. Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah. So if you want to hear some real fucking jams, Astrobot is available.
Some Sony approved jams.
Have you heard the Astrobot music before?
I mean, I played the VR version. Absolutely loved the PS5 but no, I haven't one. Played. No, it's I haven't.
Pretty incredible. I mean, maybe you saw it on YouTube or whatever.
No, I didn't. Okay, you're just being a jerk.
I'm not being a jerk. The music walks you through like the systems in the PS5. So it's like a GPU song and like a RAM song.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
And they're
god.
Great.
I can't
they're
wait.
Great.
That's awesome.
Another game I played. This is the last one to talk about. Is God, what the fuck is this game called? Century Age of Ashes. I gotta make sure that's the right name.
Such a bad name.
Yeah, Century Age of Ashes. I talked about it when they did what show?
Yeah, you were excited. It was, I think, the Sony show.
Was it the Sony?
Or no, it wasn't the Sony show. It must have been. I don't know.
Game Awards. Game Awards.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
it had to be Game Awards, right? I mean, I guess it had.
Yeah,
to be
I'm
Game
sure
Awards.
It was.
So this is a dragon dog fighting game. Now that I say it that way, I feel like dog fighting is a really inappropriate term, right? Like, dogs shouldn't fight.
It's dragon fighting.
It's dragon fighting. And it kind of plays like Crimson Skies, sort of.
Oh.
It's very kind of simplified controls. Kind of the four face buttons are attack buttons. Left trigger is break, right trigger is zoom. And you just use left thumbstick, right thumbstick's just look. And It's fun. It looks really great because it's an Unreal. The dragons look nice. Right now, it's like one map. It's a closed beta. And, it's kind of simple, which I don't necessarily love. The keyboard and mouse controls are terrible. If you do get in to play this game, do not play with keyboard and mouse. I found that a bit disappointing because I do like War Thunder, and I think their implementation of keyboard and mouse is really good for flying planes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Whenever I think of vehicles, I like immediately the idea of using a keyboard is unpleasant, but that could just be because I've never played a game that did it properly.
Yeah, War Thunder's the only people I feel like have really gotten it in a good way, because it does this like follow the nose thing for the mouse, so like you can kind of just drag left and you'll kind of stay with it, and it works for that, right? Especially because planes are kind of restricted in their like turn speeds, right? Like, it's, you're always doing loops anyways. It's not like you have to turn super fast, but you know, for this dragon one, it's not so good. But I plugged in my PS4 controller. It was much better. I find the game to be really fun. There's different classes. Right now there's three. It looks like they're going to offer more. Like, there's a spot available in the store to unlock more. It's really going to be a, like, unlock armors and skins and, you know, like that kind of game. I assume it's going to be free to play because it looks like it's going to be free to play inside. Based on the store and the amount of customization, it looks like you're going to be buying a lot of loot boxes for this game. But, you know, it's really just kind of arena battles with dragons. Some of the modes I don't think are very good. But in general, I find it fun and like Crimson Skies, kind of simplified. Not always that fair feeling, but, it works, it looks good, and it's fun to fly around on dragons, I guess, is my take for that game.
I mean, that should be the tagline, right?
Yeah.
It works, looks good, it's fun to fly around dragons. Like, it's free. Well, we don't know if it's free, but if it is, then they're like, why not? Come on, that sounds cool, right? Give it a shot.
Yeah, that really should be the official tagline. Is it's fun, it's looks good,
it looks cool,
and it's fun to fly around the track. I'm gonna because
people would be like, you know what? Yeah,
yeah, I'm in for all that.
All of that's totally accurate yeah. and not controversial at all.
I like those things. Yeah, I agree.
That's so cool. I'll have to check it out. Maybe is it in early access?
No, it's in closed beta. So you have to like sign up and get an invite. Most betas I've been in like this, like stress test style, are like, oh, we'll send you some invites to send people eventually. So hopefully when they expand, I'll be able to invite you, but, I guess we'll see when we get there.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, but that's most of what I've been playing. I played some Apex. I played some Final Fantasy, normal stuff that I do during the week, but, we don't have to do that again. I've been playing more GTA 5 a lot too. But
nice,
you know. I'm just doing the campaign. It is exactly what it was last week. You know, the same stuff. So
yeah, it's good though.
It's so good. But let's take a quick break, and then we will get into a couple news stories before we get out of here. So Leo, like I was saying, you gotta buy some Robux money in game. It's really important now more than ever. Keep spending Roblox money, you know. I'm not, you know, I don't have any reason to tell you to do that. It's not like, you know, yeah, I have no a vested interest in Roblox. But
yeah, no, I've been hearing that, like, Dogecoin's out. Roblox. Ethereum's fucking done. Roblox bucks, whatever those are called, R bucks.
I think it's Robux. Roblox.
Oh, God, if it's not, it certainly should be.
I mean, if it is, I'm buying some Roblox right now. So Roblox went public this week. Oh, Robux, R-O-B-U-X. I just looked it up.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. They'd be fools not to call it that.
Yeah, Roblox went public this week on the New York Stock Exchange.
How did it do? Did it do, I'm going to guess, like 20 million probably?
20 million is the market cap?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. When it had its IPO, I bet at its top it was 20 million.
So, for one, it's not an IPO. Okay.
Oh, it's not?
No. It's a direct listing. So an IPO is like when a company is like, all right, this is very lame and like, I don't really know. So don't take my word for it.
That's okay.
I mean, but an IPO.
No more than I do.
An IPO is when it's listed by someone else, right? Like someone takes the listing, owns it, and then they list it on the stock exchange. A direct listing comes directly from the company. So they set the price when they list it. And so they listed it at, like, I think $45. Yeah, $45 was the reference price set by the New York Stock Exchange. So that's where it started. It started at $64.50, actually, and it peaked at $74. $69.50 is where it ended, which gives it a $38 billion market cap, which is a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
I will say Roblox prints money. Like,
yeah, I mean, by all accounts, this isn't like out of nowhere. Like, obviously, they're worth a shitload. Is this the highest? I mean, as far as I know, this is bigger than any video game thing ever, right? As far as like any sort of stock valuation.
I mean, I would assume.
I guess that's a big question, and like it's kind of hard to know. But I've never heard like. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, let's put it this way. I remember hearing
about the Bethesda acquisition.
Yeah, it's 9 Bethesdas right now.
Yeah.
So that's pretty big.
But that was a little different because that was a direct purchase, right? But still, regardless, all that aside, it's a fucking astronomically high number. And I'm not saying it's not worth that. I have no idea. Oh, damn, that's a lot of money.
It most definitely isn't worth that. I mean, I think that's the point of the market, right, is to buy and sell on the speculation of, like, perceived value or, like, future value.
Right.
So it's definitely, as an entity, not worth $38 billion or whatever.
It is if the people believe it is.
I mean, as shares, right? Like, if people believe that their share is, then yes. But as a whole, as an entity, maybe not. But I will say, like, kids still play a shitload of Roblox. I've never played Roblox. I feel like I've installed it before and maybe made a character or something and was immediately like, this is janky and I don't know what's happening and I'm leaving. This is kind of scary and children do this. I can't believe it.
Yeah, I think it's like, this is again, like you, I know less about Roblox than I do even about Fortnite, and I know very little about Fortnite, but my perception is that it's, you know, it is definitely geared a little younger, not to not judging anyone who plays it and enjoys it, but I just mean, I think that the demographic's younger. But one thing I will say about them is you don't hear about Roblox very often. Like, they stay out of the news in a way that Fortnite sure as hell doesn't. Like, they've almost kept a kind of a low profile, and that's probably not true either, at least in the circles I run in. And to just have this explosive, extraordinarily high volume is kind of feels like it came out of nowhere, even though it's definitely, you know, a name I've heard many, many times.
Yeah, whoever owns Roblox was smarter than Sweeney, because they were like, we're in a good spot. Like, let's not rock this boat. You know what I mean?
Yeah, let's not start the Roblox store and go to war with Steam. Yeah. What do you think? Let's not try and take on Apple.
They're not like, we're making so much money right now. Unbelievable amounts of money. Let's not try and change the system. The system is amazing for us, right?
The system's actually working.
Yeah, the system is quite functional for us. I don't know what Fortnite was thinking. I would be really interested to see how Fortnite's doing, because it feels like they've really fallen out of prominence since their lawsuit. You know what I mean? Like, not only has the...
But again, it's so hard for us to say, right? Because we're so disconnected from it. Like, that could be totally... it's fallen out of our circles, but who knows, man? Like, Fortnite could be doing great. It's just not in the news.
I feel like my nephew doesn't play it anymore.
Yeah. Well, if your nephew doesn't play it, then it must be dead.
Well, I saw him at Thanksgiving, and he said, Uncle Tony, I can't believe this aggressive posture Tim Sweeney's taking in this non-compete lawsuit.
It's so unfounded. Yeah,
it's ridiculous. And I said, I agree. And then everyone stood up and clapped. It was incredible. It was really incredible. Yeah. And
what a kid.
He uninstalled it right there. He's, 5 years old. Incredible. Really incredible.
Shit kids say. Am I right?
Yeah. It's like that Bill Cosby show, right? Kids say the most profound things. Yeah, I just thought this was crazy. I mean, I obviously did not buy into Roblox, so I do not care if you buy Robux or not. I was just joshing with you there at the beginning. But yeah, I mean, it's funny. I did think about buying it, but then I think, like a lot of people, the day came and went. I was like, I guess I didn't buy it. That's how I am with a lot of stocks, though.
Yeah, I think that's how you should be, honestly. Yeah. Like, I don't know. But it does kind of bring to light, like, just the idea of speculation with video games, right? Like, you know, it's great. All power to Roblox. I don't really know enough about the game or the company or anything behind the scenes to really talk a lot about it. But it did bring to mind, like, just how, you know, how much money is at stake in this industry, and the way people spend money, right? And, like, the first thing that comes to our mind is, or at least my mind, was Microsoft's recent acquisition of Bethesda, which was, like, we talked a lot about at the time. It was just approved, although I didn't know there was any question that it was going to be approved. I didn't even know there was controversy around that.
Now, governing bodies have to, like, be like, okay, I know they have to,
but they made it sound like there was a question that it was going to happen. Like, I always assumed that was a formality, especially in this case. Like, who cares?
Yeah, I agree.
It's the antitrust for Microsoft and Bethesda. But anyway, we both agreed that they overpaid. And that's not to imply Roblox isn't valued, whatever. I don't know. But it sure does show how much money is in this industry, and the way people spend it is interesting.
Yeah, and that there's ways to, you know, there's ways to get money out of properties and IPs that don't always involve selling to consumers, right? Like, you know, I think with this Roblox valuation, it's like they've generated so much capital, right? And it didn't involve them selling any Robux, you know, like,
or anything.
Right. So, when we look at, like, oh, they overpaid for this. Like, did they? I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
what does that even mean?
Yeah. And does the future mean that they can generate additional capital based on owning these properties? Maybe, you know, like, I don't know what it will do for them or how that plays
out. Yeah. And I mean, it is one of those things where, you know, the default to authority where it's like, the people at Microsoft probably crunch some numbers. Like, they probably have some insight that we're not privy to. Like, I understand that. But even so, it's like it's representative of the way IPs are treated and sort of commoditized that I don't always think is really necessarily correlated to actual value.
Yeah, it's definitely not correlated to reality.
Yeah, maybe that's a better way to say it. Yeah, and it's certainly not correlated to, like, artistic quality. Not that that's in any way relevant to finances, but it's kind of interesting to see.
Yeah, I agree.
So no one's going to pay $6 billion for Loop Hero, even though it's very good.
Maybe they will. You know, maybe Loop Hero will go public and you know, we'll learn what it's really worth, right?
Yeah.
So as you said, the Bethesda acquisition has gone through. It's now all on the table. Microsoft now owns ZeniMax, and you know, I think a couple interesting things came from this. One, they announced 20 games coming to Xbox Game Pass.
20 new games, like new IPs, brand new things that Bethesda's been working on and creating behind the scenes this whole time?
No, very old things.
Oh.
Very old. Well, some of them are newer, you know, like it's not all older things. You know, it's funny. You see a lot of hype around these things. The same people that said Ghost of Tsushima sucked are the people saying that, like, this is the most incredible thing to happen to gaming. And I think they're wrong about everything because this, to me, is interesting. I guess if you don't own these games or haven't played these games. And
everybody owns these games.
Yeah, and if you want to play every single one of them, then maybe there's value in spending $15 to have access to them. But I will tell you, as someone that has bought at least three of these games in recent history, they cost me less than $5 a piece. So, you know, I just take with a grain of salt how much value you're getting from these.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's important to articulate, like, these are a good game.
Yeah,
like, these are great. This is an extraordinarily awesome collection of wonderful games. Like, I don't think anyone's questioning that. I think Bethesda has put out, you know, we talk a lot of shit about them, but under their watch, so many good games have been made, and not just first party. Like, you know, all the Arcane stuff, Doom, like all that shit, Wolfenstein, there's so much good shit under there. The point is that all these games are great. They all came out a while ago. They're also all available on every PC platform and are extraordinarily cheap to own.
Yeah, they're not Nintendo games, right? The IP has not been protected to a level where these aren't readily available games that you can find on any CD key site. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they have very small on, like, most of these games have no online presence, so they don't require, like,
which is great. Like, that's part of why they're awesome. Yeah. They're wonderful single player experiences, but they're just so readily available that it's very hard to get excited about this. It'd be like if, you know, Counter-Strike came to other consoles or something. You'd be like, who cares, man?
Yeah, who fucking cares?
Yeah. Not because it's not good, but because it's, you could already have it at your fingertips.
Yeah, or if you paid $5 a month for, like, Steam Pass and they gave you Counter-Strike and Team Fortress.
Right, and Half-Life 2.
And Half-Life which is, 2, yeah.
Which you already own, even if you didn't buy it.
Yeah, that orange box was such a deal back in the day.
It sure was. Yeah. And now it, like, comes pre-installed on every Windows computer.
Yeah, it was incredible. All right, so the 20 games you're going to get is Dishonored Definitive Edition.
Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
Dishonored 2.
Even better.
Doom.
What?
Doom.
Oh, Doom. I thought you said Tomb, like T-O-M-B.
Love Doom. My D's have been a little sharp lately. I apologize. Doom 2.
Oh, so these are like the original Doom.
Doom 3. Yeah, Doom 2. Doom
3. All three of these games kick ass.
Doom 64.
Wonderful game.
Really? Doom Eternal.
Yeah, Doom 64 is a wonderful game. I could go off about it. It's fucking awesome.
I have to assume Doom 2016 is already on Game Pass. That's why it's not on this list, because Doom Eternal is here as well.
Doom Eternal is also absolutely wonderful.
Morrowind.
One of my favorites.
Oblivion.
Great game.
Skyrim SC.
Never heard of it, but sounds fine.
Yes.
Is it really Skyrim SD?
SE, Special Edition.
Oh, I thought you said SD, like standard definition.
Our D's and T's are really getting mixed up.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm giving you a hard time.
It's okay. Elder Scrolls. It's
probably my headphones.
Elder Scrolls Online. I don't know how that's going to work.
Yeah, because the game's free, right?
It kind of, yeah, and they give you like a different. Yeah, there's zones. No way you're getting the premium pass for Elder Scrolls Online.
Although, if they were, that would actually be pretty compelling.
I mean, it would.
Yeah. But it would also be insane.
I mean,
so.
I'm going to look it up right now, actually, because I got to find out. I'm sorry. I don't like Googling things during the show.
It's good radio.
It makes for bad radio. I'm trying to talk while I Google, which is going to be even worse, because then I ramble.
How about this? I'll talk about Elder Scrolls Online until you chime in. Uh-huh. It's pretty good. If you like the Elder Scrolls universe, it's like and I actually do like their pricing model, where it's free to play. You have access to a few zones, and then you, from what I understand, you pay like per zone, and you pay to have a certain amount of income come in. So you can, there's a lot of content for free, and it is fun. What else? Oh, it's fun getting back to Morrowind. If you like Morrowind, Elder Scrolls Online, you can just hop right back in. It's very cool.
All right. So I can't find an article that specifically states what's included in the Game Pass version. I believe Elder Scrolls Online was already in Game Pass because I find I'm finding like a story that's like Xbox Game Pass, you'll get access to ESO and the Morrowind chapter and 10% off other things you buy, which seems more appropriate because, yeah, you either pay a premium monthly subscription for ESO and have
which I think is $12 or something
for access to everything, or you buy all the chapters individually, which are like $15 each, and then you own them forever.
Which is cool, actually. Like, I do kind of like that pricing structure.
Yeah, I mean, I would say out of all these games, ESO is probably the one I've liked the most. You know, Elder Scrolls Online, maybe Skyrim. I don't know. Skyrim's always hard for me because it does feel so broken now to play. Like, at the time, I thought it was fun, but now it just seems so...
No, I mean, it is a fascinating game in that it's like it was very important, but trying to play it without mods is actually weird. Because vanilla Skyrim is fucked up.
Yeah.
And I think having played it with mods for many, many years, trying to play vanilla is like, oh my god, this is a totally different game than I remember.
And even at the time, I remembered, like, it's one of the few games, like, it's hard to make me hate a magic system in a game. And I was like, this is fucking the worst. How would anyone want to be a mage in this game? Where you're literally pausing the game every few seconds to, like, you know, change your spell or, you know, like, it's just so weird. All right, Fallout 4, Evil Within. Sorry, I skipped that one. Fallout 4, that's a real piece of shit. Fallout 76 is also a real piece of shit.
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, Fallout New Vegas, that's not a piece of shit.
But it's also 50 cents and it's on Steam.
And it's only on console for Game Pass.
What?
It's not included on PC Game Pass.
Dude.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, a lot of these games, or not a lot, but some of these are definitely only available on console or cloud, they call it, which I assume means like Xbox. What do they call it?
I don't even know.
They have a name for it. Prey is coming.
Yeah, Prey is cool.
Rage.
Prey's very cool.
Rage 2.
I played a little bit of Rage 2 not too long ago. It's
I didn't like it.
Fine.
I didn't like it.
It's fine. It's like it's a great example of like a fine game.
Yeah, I guess. I thought it was less than fine, but, you know, it's just a generic open world game, you know? Like, what can I say?
Yeah.
It's worse than that, though. It's so worse than a generic...
I think tonally it's extraordinarily obnoxious, but as far as, like, gameplay, it's pretty solid. I mean, it's id. Like, mechanically, it's a very sound game.
I think the
trappings of it are pretty rough.
Mechanically, it is very sound. It does, like, an open world thing that I think is... like worse than any other open world game where you're literally like,
yeah, fine, kind of does.
Here's what it leans in on the shitty towers, parts of open world, you know, like go take the control tower thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, the same event is everywhere. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And it's just,
yeah, it leans into the bad parts.
There's like five things that you do in different places.
Yeah.
Wolfenstein.
But I mean, same as Far Cry, right?
Yeah, I know. Wolfenstein, the New Order.
I love Wolfenstein the New Order.
I like it too. I think it's probably the best of these games. Old Blood and Young Blood, which is the worst one. Young Blood is
Young Blood sucks. Old Blood was an expansion, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Young Blood is terrible. I don't know how that game
turned out so bad. It was very disappointing.
Yeah.
Especially after the new Colossus, which was like such a fascinating game.
Yeah.
To go from that to Young Blood was like, excuse me?
Yeah. I don't know how they like. I don't know how they, like, tried to change and ruin that formula so hard.
Yeah, it was very weird.
Especially when, like, I thought there was a lot of room to have, like, that kind of, like...
The concept was great.
Yeah, and, like, this girl power version of
what they were doing, awesome.
Right? Like, seemed awesome and, like, an interesting way to get creative with writing that stuff.
And setting it in the 80s, that's awesome. And it was so smart.
It just completely missed all of that, right? In a way that, like, was heartless and soulless.
I agree. Execution was... subpar at best.
Yeah, I don't know. This whole Bethesda thing seems a little lackluster to me, if you ask me. I mean, maybe it's I'm a Sony fanboy, I guess, because I have a PlayStation. I just feel like, you know, we've said it before, these Bethesda games are so far off. You know, like the new stuff, right? The next Elder Scrolls, Starfield. Are these even going to be Xbox Series X games? Are they going to be like... next-gen games, you know what I mean? Like, they're gonna be...
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a good question, but, like, no, they're so far off that it's... it's sort of embarrassing. It was one of those things where they like announced it. Like, did they know this acquisition was upcoming? So they had to like feed him something, or like, the more I think about this, the more I think that the Elder Scrolls 6 reveal, which was like, what, 2 years ago, a year ago? I don't know. Time is dilated, but it almost feels like a weird calculated, like, hey, we're still valuable.
It does to me too. We haven't made a game anyone's wanted to play in quite a long time.
Yeah, but hey, we are working on this, and I'm sure they are. Yeah. Like, they'd be fools not to be working on something. But it was like, no, we don't have anything to show. But it's like they showed intent.
Yeah.
And that intent somehow made them more financially valuable.
Yeah, we still have very attractive IP, so take a look.
Yeah, exactly. Right? It was very cynical. And I'm just saying that. I have no evidence of that. But that's how it kind of, in retrospect, it feels that way. They're like, hey, attractive IPs. Hey, investors, check this out. Not like, hey, gamers, get excited about The Elder Scrolls 6.
Yeah, it's... I kind of agree, too. I think it was a lot of posturing to show their, like, potential value. And kind of gross. I mean, last-gen consoles were, like, 7 years ago, right?
Yeah.
And I am just not that confident that all of these things will be launching in the next 7 years, right? If we have another 7 years...
I think so. 7 years is a pretty long time, dude.
For both Star... whatever, yeah, and Elder Scrolls.
They're one of the biggest developers in the world. Like, they can make two games at the same time.
I mean, can they?
Well, I don't know. I'm not saying they're good, going to be good, or like, but the idea that they can't even execute is, I mean, especially now, they have so much money. They'd be fools not to make a new game, you know?
No, I agree, but I'm just saying, like, in their track record of like what they put out, it's 7 years is not a long time, right?
Yeah. Well, and also, like, just because they can doesn't mean they can execute, right? Like, having the resources is very different than actually creating something.
I mean, let's say they put one out in the next 4 years, right? They still got another game to make in the next...
Okay, well, hold on. Skyrim came out in 2011?
Yep.
That can't be right. So Skyrim's 10 years old.
Yep.
So they haven't made a new Elder Scrolls in 10 years.
Yep.
And they announced it, and there's no reason to think, wow, it could be like 15 years between Elder Scrolls games. That's fucking bizarre. I never really thought about that.
Yep.
At best, 15 years.
At best. That's what I mean. Like, I'm not saying it'd be impossible for these games to come out in this console generation. I'm saying I would not be surprised if Starfield comes out in 2023, right? And Elder Scrolls comes out in 2027, like the last year of the console, or it's a crossover title, right? Like, because they just they don't put out games in like sequential years.
2027 would have been almost 20 years.
Well, yeah, they just don't put out games in like sequential years, right? It's not gonna be 2023 and 2024.
They used to.
Yeah, they used to. I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't think either of these games are going to like be good at all, right? Like, I think the next Elder Scrolls, I think they're still gonna be broken. I think Fallout 4 and Fallout 76 showed us that they don't have the chops to do this stuff. Like, if you want that real talk, you know what I mean?
Well, I think they did do some stuff well.
What?
Oh, at least Fallout 4.
I mean, like, I don't know, like, what?
It wasn't stuff I liked, but it was like, I'm trying to think how to describe it. There's a lot of art in Fallout 4. Like, there's a lot of artistry in the design and the landscape. Like, there's a lot of environmental art that is really extraordinary and beautiful, and not just, like, fidelity-wise, because it kind of looked like shit even when it came out. But, like, I guess all I'm trying to say is there's extraordinarily talented people at Bethesda. I mean, that probably goes without saying. But, like, even Fallout 4, which is a game I really loathe, like, Boston looks fucking awesome. Like, they put so much work in designing the city and how huge it is and how enormous it is. Like, they could make a good game. They just choose not to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, if some good new Coca-Cola signs meant a good game, then I guess you're right. It would be a good game. But sadly, like, that's not the case, right?
It's
like,
not a good game. They have talented people there, I guess, is all I'm saying.
And, you know, the good art, sadly, is a predecessor of, like, it's built on that franchise's good art. You know what I mean?
I think you're not giving enough credit to, like, if you compare Fallout 4's Boston to Fallout 3 or even... like Fallout 3, especially, is Washington, D.C. Like, Fallout 4's Boston was very lovingly crafted. It's just the quest design, the gameplay, and the writing is bad. It's a bad game. I dislike Fallout 4 intensely. But I'm not sure. I guess all I'm trying to say is there are really talented people who love these franchises that work there. And I'm they could make a good game, goddammit. They could, if they choose to.
Okay.
I believe that. Like, I'm an optimist. I don't think they will, sadly.
I tend to be optimistic, too. I just don't think that they...
Yeah. I think you tend to be pessimistic, so the truth's probably in the middle somewhere.
Well, and I don't think I tend to be pessimistic. I think in this specific case, like, they've shown us what they're capable of, right? And even 10 years ago, Skyrim was also a cumbersome in a lot of ways.
But Skyrim is a great game, though.
Sure, in pieces, right? I think in similar ways to it's better than Fallout, right? Absolutely,
it's better than Fallout 4.
Better than Fallout 4 is what I'm saying. It's better than Fallout 4, and I think,
and it's better than Oblivion, I would argue.
Sure. You know, I think it's a lot more modern in a lot of ways too, but it's also a lot more broken. I think other than some of the side quests, a lot of the writing is really bad.
I agree. I think their writing does struggle.
Right. So the game, like Fallout 4, Elder Scrolls, or Skyrim, doesn't function very well. Right. Has bad writing. Right. It's kind of poorly thought out as far as just like the playability of it. Vanilla is in a lot of ways not fun, right? Like the weight limitations and like just the menus and like, you know, there's just a lot of stuff in that game that is just like, why is it like, why does it hate me? You know? And so that's what I mean. I'm not saying, oh, their last game wasn't good. I'm saying their last 20 years almost, right? Like weren't good. Bethesda specifically. Arcane, I think, is good. Id, I think, is good. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they have. Yeah, for sure. No one's talking about the people under their umbrella.
But let's be
Machine Head's awesome.
Yeah. But let's be honest. Microsoft didn't buy them for Id and Arcane. Like that was a bonus. Right. But the meat and potatoes is Elder Scrolls franchise and whatever Starfield is going to be. Right. And
Well, I mean, I think it's important to recognize that Skyrim is the best-selling RPG of all time. Like it may have been cumbersome, but they did hit that balance of accessibility and, you know, I mean, it sold more copies than any RPG ever. Like they did something right. You know what I mean? And I don't mean to be cynical and just about the money, but there's a reason for that. Like it was calculated.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I think part of Skyrim's success was the fact that
the nude mods.
Well, and they haven't made any other games, and they just continue to release it, right?
Yeah, like, it makes you wonder, like, why doesn't everyone do that?
In some ways, if you have a very popular game, and you just refuse to make an updated game, right?
Just don't make a new one.
Like, let's put it this way. Grand Theft Auto V has sold more than Skyrim.
Yeah, it has.
Right? And it's a similar story, right? This game was wildly popular. Let's just keep releasing it on everything, right?
But it also has an online component.
It also has a much... that's why it sold a lot better, right? But it's a, kind of that same idea of like, I don't think we can make a new one. So let's just fucking keep selling this thing.
Yeah. But also, why not? Like, yeah. People keep buying it, so why
I agree, why not? I'm just saying, I don't know if that's necessarily... indicative of it being like a great game. Yeah, no, I could say Skyrim's good, right? I think it's good.
Yeah, I think it was very good for the time. It was cool. It was a great follow up to Oblivion.
I think there was an era where we were okay with games being broken.
Yeah, yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah,
you know. Well said. I'm just very interested to see how this all plays out. Really, like I have no dog in it. I don't have an Xbox. I don't really care about Xbox that much. Outside of complaining.
I think we do care about Xbox. We just like having it around as a punching bag.
I mean, I will say I miss like cool Xbox, you know?
Yeah, me too.
I miss having a cool avatar.
know, like the Xbox, what were they called?
I don't know, but those 360 avatar dudes where you'd like dress them up and put them in like...
Yeah, that was fun.
Like gamer, yeah.
Yeah, you could like buy cool hats.
I remember I had like the Splinter Cell, like night vision goggles on my dude. And I just thought it was so cool, right? Like,
I was thinking how I'd be very interested to see if I just hook up my Xbox 360 Elite, which I haven't turned on in I don't know how long. If I just connect it to an Ethernet cable and turn it on, like what would even happen? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, would there be an update? Would my Mii pop up? Would I be able to look at my saves? Or would the whole thing just be like, this is so old, we don't even know what this is anymore? Like, I'm kind of curious just what these old school, when this was still kind of new, infrastructures look like now.
Yeah, I think.
You ever wonder about that?
I think, I am curious. Well, with Xbox, it's weird because they tend to like try and unify the dashboard across their systems, you know?
Yeah, but there's no way they're still, or maybe they are. I don't know.
Maybe it's just like booting up an Xbox Series X. Maybe it's the same thing.
Yeah, right. And it would just be like, there's not enough RAM. Yeah. I remember the menu on the 360 by the end even couldn't handle it because it was like throttling due to the lack of RAM. So I can't imagine it would support a modern UI, but who knows?
Yeah, who knows, right? Like,
I'll have to do some testing this weekend.
Yeah, I want to know. I want to see if your house burns down from.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's all I had today, though. Anything else you want to jump into before we get out of here, Leo?
Well, I have to tell a quick story. I'll keep it brief of how I got a PS5.
Wait, you got a PS5?
I ordered a PS5.
That's a good first
step. I do not have it in my hands yet. But you remember, I think I complained last week about how diving into this whole thing of trying to get shit has been very irritating.
You're always complaining. Yeah, so.
I know. I'm the complainer of the group. But I finally got one through this GameStop bundle, and I just kind of got lucky and found this link and ended up manipulating the system sort of and got it. And now I have to wait like 2 weeks.
I think that's how long mine took. Actually, mine came a lot faster than it set. So hopefully you'll get yours fast.
Yeah, I'm hoping. I really am. But I guess the reason I wanted to bring it up is because I'm really excited. And I was sort of pissed off and cynical about the process of getting it. But once I actually got it, or again, purchase it, I don't know. They might cancel it, which would be funny.
No, you'll
but
get
I,
it.
I haven't been this excited for a purchase in a long time. I think part of that's the artificial scarcity. Part of that's just the fact they're hard to get. But more than that, I genuinely am really excited about like getting to play a next generation game. I'm really excited for the Spider-Man game, you know?
Yeah, the ultimate meta game of this generation is the game of getting a PlayStation. You know?
Yeah, and that's not a game I'm interested in. Like, that sucks.
But you
that's
won like at
capitalism
it, so who cares?
Run amok. And I did win at it. But that's, I guess what I'm trying to say is that's not why I'm excited. I'm excited because like I'm genuinely pretty thrilled to play these cool games at 60 FPS and to play Spider-Man and see the new textures. And yeah, I'm genuinely excited about it in a way, I guess probably just because there hasn't been a new console in a very long time.
I'm glad you've joined the ranks of elite consumers.
Yeah, you know, again, finally. It's not what I'm trying to say. It's not like a status level. It's more like, hey, now I can enjoy the art I really love the way it's supposed to be enjoyed, which I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, it feels fucking good, man. Especially coming off those low lows, right? Especially when you feel real bad and then it finally pops. You're just like... Yeah. Ah, it just explodes out of your chest. It's like a Dark Souls fight, man. I'm telling you. It's like when you've gotten killed by the same boss 45
times,
right?
Yeah.
And
you
finally land that killing blow, and it's just like, fucking, I got it. I finally got it, right?
Like, yeah. And now, as weird as it sounds, it's just like, it's a mental weight off. Like, I don't have to worry about this shit anymore for a while.
Yeah, it's beautiful, man.
But
beautiful.
I did make the mistake of buying a PS5 game ahead of time because it was on sale. So now I have this one PS5 game just chilling on my shelf, no console in sight. So it's kind of, I don't recommend doing that.
What game did you buy?
Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Oh, just another open world game. Great.
Yeah, I like open world.
Same games. Old fucking open world shit.
I'm actually really excited to see what a next generation Ubisoft open world game looks like.
Yeah,
I'm super thrilled about that.
I kind of want to play it too. I don't even like Assassin's Creed games, but I would like to see it on PS5 and like play it because I'm actually very impressed with the PS5 so far. So
I
think it's great.
I hope to join the ranks soon. I'm not going to have it next week, but hopefully the week after.
You might get it next week. Mine shipped faster than they said. So,
did you pre-order? Because I pre-ordered.
Oh no, I ordered one in stock. So
yeah, they're saying very clearly like it's not going to be shipped till the 20th or whatever. But anyway.
You got it, dude.
I'll let you know. I'll certainly let you know and give you all a full report when it does come in.
We're all, the whole Techia family is looking forward to you being the best consumer you can be. All right?
Yeah, a good little capitalist.
A good little capitalist supporting big business, supporting especially GameStop.
Finally, big business is getting our money.
Finally getting the money they deserve. We really appreciate it. You're just another bootlicker just like me. So I hope you like the flavor.
But I'm a bootlicker with a kick-ass AMD GPU and my PS5.
Hope you like the flavor of that boot because it lets you play some sick games. All right.
Yeah. Tastes like Astrobot.
It does taste like Astro. And Miles Morales' silky smooth fucking spider suit. That's what I'm talking about. thank you guys so much for listening. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
If you want to reach out to us, Tech Yeah Podcast on Twitter and Facebook. If not, you know the routine. You know where to email us. It's techyeahpodcast@gmail.com.
It's not hard. It's
not hard to find us. We're out there. We love you guys. We appreciate your time so much. And go play some PS5 games.